Hello, everyone, and welcome to the webinar, Securing SAP Business Technology Platform, Best Practices and Strategies, presented by Onapsys. I'm Sean Byers from SAP Insider, and I have a couple of quick announcements before we begin. We have this session is going to be recorded, and a copy of today's recording and presentation will be emailed to you following this session. The webinar, if you are joining us live, is designed to be interactive between you and the presenters. So we invite you to use the Q&A box at the bottom of your screen to submit any questions. After the presentation, we're going to have a Q&A session where we will answer as many as of the questions as time allows. Today, I'm joined by Alex Foron and JP, both from Onapsys. Welcome to you both, and thank you so much for joining us today. Over to you, Alex.
Thank you, Sean, and thank you everyone for joining us today. We're really excited to take you through securing SAP Business Technology Platform. So let's dive right in. What I'd like to do is just first kind of introduce ourselves to you and kind of why we feel we're in a position to kind of help you understand kind of the security needs and challenges around BTP. I'll introduce my colleague JP, as you can see on the screen. Along with everything it says here, he's a co-founder of Onapsys. But one of the reasons why I particularly enjoy doing webcasts and this kind of material with JP is he's done a lot of training. He's done training at Black Hat, Hack in the Box, AppSec Troopers, Oracle OpenWorld, SAP TechEd, and really kind of knows how to take complex materials, complex kind of ideas, and present them in a way that's easy for everyone, including myself, to understand. So I'm excited to have JP here with us. Myself, I'm Alex Horan. I'm on the product side at Onapsys. So kind of help take challenges like this, which our customers are having, and provide products and technologies that kind of enable them to easily solve these problems and include them as part of their normal everyday experience. So on behalf of JP and myself, thank you so much for joining us, and I'll start leading us through. I'd like to kind of give you an overview of what you can expect from our time together today. So, with something like SAP BTP, when I'm talking kind of to people at conferences or during kind of calls, some people have been working with it for a long time, and some people know it's coming but really haven't had a chance to be exposed to it. So, with kind of a wide audience like that, we want to make sure we take some time to kind of level set, give you all an understanding of the foundations of what BTP is, and especially kind of what the foundations of securing BTP are. When we have that common kind of foundation in place, then we'll start describing kind of what are the security features available to BTP customers, kind of what are the values of them, how you should take advantage of them. And then as anytime we do a presentation like this, what we really want to provide is some guidance and some takeaways on how best to implement an ongoing security practice for BTP, whether you're deploying BTP now or it's something that's coming along. I apologize, JP. I didn't give you a chance to just say hello to the audience and introduce yourself. So before we get into the meat of this, let's have you do that now.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex, for the introduction and this opportunity. I think it's been a while since we last co-presented a webinar, so I'm really happy to have this opportunity to be here with you and covering, as you said, so complex topics as BTP is or involves, but bringing them down to earth for everyone to be able to understand, okay, what should we do for securing BTP?
Yeah. So let's have you, JP, if you can kind of talk about the why of this all. Like, why is this something that people should be caring about? And I'll kind of drive the slides forward as you go forward.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex. So yeah, to begin with, hey, like, we're going to be covering security for BTP, multiple different services, the architecture, and strategies to push security forward. But let's start with understanding why is security important, especially in the concept in the context of cloud and BTP services. And I wanted to start with a couple of examples. For those of you who are more familiar with the concept of SAP nodes, or more specifically SAP security nodes, we extracted here a couple of examples of SAP security nodes. Those are the nodes that customers need to consume, address, take care of. but specifically focused on components around BTP or cloud applications. And we're going to be talking about these throughout the different slides and the different sections of this presentation. But it's important to understand that even though organizations are going down the path of embracing cloud, going to cloud, consuming cloud services, security is something that we need to address. It's our data, hence it's our responsibility, and we're ultimately responsible for securing this. In this case, we are seeing a couple of SAP security nodes addressing security issues in different services and different parts of BTP, and with the corresponding CVSS, the criticality, as you can see, these are very critical, and the CVEs, so the specific vulnerabilities that were being addressed by these security nodes. So even if we are in the cloud, SAP security nodes can be applicable in some cases, so we should be taking care of as well. Next slide, please. Going down the path of understanding why, I think it's important to go back to research that we released together with Flashpoint a couple of months ago. And this research was focused on understanding what's been the evolution of the threat landscape, specifically focused on SAP applications for the past 4 years. And in this research, we highlighted or we uncovered a 400% increase in ransomware incidents involving SAP data, SAP applications, 490% increase on criminal conversations, talking about SAP vulnerabilities and SAP exploits, a 220% increase in discussions involving URLs that match specifically to SAP technology, a 400% increase on the price of publicly available, of exploits. Actually, these are not publicly available. These are exploits for sale, specifically focused on SAP applications, remote command execution exploits. So these are four indicators that highlight the evolution from 2020 to 2023, including the end of 2023, covering data points that are coming from basically threat intelligence, right? Open, deep, and dark web, cyber criminal forums, paste sites, code sites, blogs, different sites where which are used by threat actors to exchange information, communicate, release exploits, release code, different things. So all of that gets condensed into a platform, and we use the Flashpoint Intel to be able to identify these data points. So all in all, I encourage you to go into this research to see more information and more details. But the threat landscape for SAP applications is increasing, and this also involves applications that are running in the cloud, right? This is not just limited to on-premise installations. Next slide, please. And if we want to take a look at who is behind this, or who are the threat actors that are actively targeting these applications, well, there's a little bit of everything. When we look at the spectrum of threat actors targeting business applications, SAP business applications, we have all the way from very sophisticated, well-resourced APTs, state-sponsored actors, all the way to less sophisticated, less resourced script kiddies, for example, right? They go and exploit vulnerabilities in the background as well. And in between, we have financially motivated actors like Fin7 and Fin13 that profit out of compromising these applications, or Cobalt Spider, which is also another actor that is known to target these applications. What do they do? Well, they exploit SAP vulnerabilities, they exploit its payment systems, exfiltrating financial statements, or even performing financial fraud. But all of these are mechanisms that these threat actors have found to be able to monetize on compromising SAP applications. Next slide, please. In this research that I mentioned to you, we have posted a number of examples of communications between threat actors, posts offering compromises, offering exploits, offering different things. Well, this is, I think, a very relevant example of a threat actor in a Russian-speaking cybercriminal forum posting that this actor was able to compromise four networks, doesn't provide more details than that, but using very specific SAP vulnerabilities, asking, what should I do, right? After compromising these SAP applications, I was able to access these encryption, selling access, many different options. But all in all, it's important to understand that these threat actors are targeting these and are profiting out of it. Next slide, please. And I'll pass it over to you, Alex.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone. So that's perfect, JP. Thanks for taking us through that. Like, that's why kind of we need to take security of all of our systems seriously. A BTP being a new complex system introduces its own complexity. I did want to take a little bit of time again, as I said, to level set on what is BTP. If you've spoken to an SAP rep recently, you know it is kind of where SAP is going. It's where a lot of their planned innovation and investment is. And it's where they're bringing their customers with them. So you can see kind of some ideas there on the screen about kind of what BTP is, kind of why it helps. It provides analytics, it helps with application development and integration, and it has a lot of services. So it's really a set of services and products that SAP had in disparate ways over time, kind of brought in under one umbrella, brought in up under the BTP umbrella. And then as an organization, as an enterprise, you can pick and choose kind of what elements of this you want to adopt. If we take it a bit deeper, you know, there's some elements there on the screen about kind of what helps with BTP. But really, when I was kind of talking to SAP's customers and talking to kind of some peers, you know, there's a lot of elements that really kind of makes BTP exciting for them and something that their enterprise is interested in embracing. So it allows for fast integration. Because it has these underlying services and products available to it, you know, you spend less time trying to get those up and running and more time building applications and analytics on top of those and building in the integrations between various kind of points of data in order to perform that analytics. You know, we've heard SAP talk about AI and how important that is for them. And so that's a big part of what BTP offers is that kind of, you know, a set of intelligent technologies that it sits on top of that you can then pick and choose what you'll bring in. And then I'd say one other piece just to kind of highlight something else would be you can really build in an agile way on top of SAP BTP. So the whole waterfall framework of building big, big kind of applications and reports, et cetera, and then rolling them out. This enables you to kind of build and develop capabilities for your customers, internal or external, in a much more agile way. So you can get a lot more incremental value out of BTP quickly versus kind of delivering value in large buckets, but with a long development time associated with those. So when we look at what BTP looks like, you can kind of see, and you know, on the left here, you see the end user, and they're kind of interacting with BTP through something, so through a browser, through a some kind of mobile app, etc. And from their perspective, they're interacting really with one thing. But if you look in the center of the screen, you see kind of there's a lot of actually different things that it can be included as part of BTP. That when the end user performs their actions, these things kick in one way or the other in order to provide kind of what's needed for that end user. So you see a lot of different suites across various areas, data and analytics, et cetera, different runtimes that could be brought in. And if you look all the way to the right, it could even be kind of reaching back into your enterprise network to bring in data from network systems in order for the end user to interact or make changes to those. So at a really high level, the end user experience can be simple, but when you look at the technology associated with it, it's very complex kind of interworking of different technologies. JP, kind of what's your take on how BTP architecture looks like and how people could perhaps, if they're less familiar with it, what they could compare it to in terms of architecture they might be familiar with?
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex. So first of all, I would like to also note that, as you mentioned, Alex, BTP was released in 2021, but SAP started its cloud journey a long time ago, transitioning and becoming a cloud company, and BTP being an evolution of predecessors like SAP Cloud Platform was at some point combining and evolving a lot of cloud capabilities to ultimately become this platform as a service offering that integrates or is aimed to integrate different type of solutions. So for example, you can bring data or you can integrate applications and do execute bi-directional communication between BTP to the different on-premise applications, all the way to communicating from on-premise installations to the cloud. And the one word that comes to my mind when I analyze or look at something like this is basically complexity, right? Even though we are looking at a very lean architectural diagram, it's built on top of a lot of different building blocks and components, all of them interacting and interfacing. And complexity, I always say that complexity is basically an enemy of security in many cases, because it doesn't, you need to understand a lot of those concepts involved in this scenario to be able to understand if it's secure or not, or to be able to reduce the number of issues here. So we have global accounts, we have sub accounts, we have users, roles, we have permissions grouped in different mechanisms and different ways to authenticate users as well, integrating with the identity cloud services from SAP. So here we see, even though again, we see a BTP diagram, BTP involves many things, and that's where security comes into play, right? How do we secure the different configurations, the different sub accounts, the applications built on each one of these? So understanding all of those concepts is a pillar to being able to secure these.
Perfect. Thanks, JP. Yeah, so it's a very simple diagram, as JP says, but you can see it's reaching out to external cloud apps, it's reaching out to on-premise. Like, there's a lot of different ways and different edges to this that all need to be taken into account when you consider securing your BTP environments. So let's start talking about, kind of, now we have a better idea of what BTP is, like, and how it compares to maybe technology we're used to. Like, what are the security aspects of SAP BTP? So, you know, you do have a role in BTP security. So while it is offered as a service, it's kind of platform as a service, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's 100% the vendor's responsibility to keep that environment secure. They certainly have an element of responsibility, and SAP is very clear in terms of what they've published and what exactly their security role is. They've also published lots of guidance and made clear to their customers that you too have a role in ensuring that your BTP is secure. So one of the clearest one is the BTP security recommendations that's published and maintained by SAP. So as the name suggests, like, this is explicitly what SAP recognize as important configurations that have a security kind of a consequence for your BTP. And if you want to have a secure BTP, these are the recommendations they provide to you. So you can see on the left of the screen kind of the types of pieces it is. So it's not really about patching. You know, that is obviously something that's strongly the responsibility of the vendor, but the ways in which you've customized and configured BTP, or, you know, anything else that you have for that matter, has an effect on the security posture of that application. The way you manage identity and access, you know, so being very specific about the types of access people have, ensuring that, you know, people or machines who are connecting to BTP very clearly identify who they are, and based on that identification have explicit access that is just what they need to do, helps reduce that attack purchase surface, sorry. And then kind of, all right, what kind of, how are we managing the data? How are we ensuring that it's kind of, it's secure, that it's, you know, it's not compromised in any way? And then how do you analyze and make sure all of this is taking place? So the security recommendations are a great first start in order to understand kind of what is the world of security. It's not the all-encompassing world, but it's a big part of what you should be thinking about as you think about securing BTP, and can give you kind of insights into what are the elements of BTP security that you should be monitoring. And kind of the risks of not doing that, you know, it's kind of somewhat self-evident, but I just want to point out what some of them are. Like, you know, so obviously the risk is lower security, but there's also some other elements to risks associated with kind of moving to more of a BTP model. So one that kind of we encounter sometimes is compliance risk. So there can be a belief that, just like some people may believe, well, moving to the cloud like this, I'm automatically secure, so therefore I don't have to do anything to do with security. There can be kind of a mistaken belief that moving to the cloud, I'm automatically compliant. Like, compliance doesn't count in some way. So it's important to, you know, always recognize and remember that when you go to the cloud, you still have to meet your regulatory requirements in terms of compliance. You still have to adhere to whatever standards, you know, are applicable to your business or that business division who's using BTP. Another kind of risk is BTP is new, and that can be something that the attacker groups that JP talked about earlier could try and take advantage of. If people are still kind of getting to grips with understanding what BTP is and how it's used, that could be something an attacker could take advantage of to try and kind of bamboozle their way through support or through some other group in order to gain access that they shouldn't have to a BTP target. And for me, is one of the elements I see that's really the biggest is, it's people kind of misunderstanding what are they responsible for. So that myth I talked about earlier, that if it's in the cloud, if it's being hosted like this, that security is taken care of for me. You know, there's an expression I grew up with that ignorance is no defense in the eyes of the law. So just because you didn't know that something was your responsibility doesn't mean you're immune from the consequences of not taking that action. And that's, you know, doubly true here, that you really need to make sure you look at the information that SAP is providing around what are you responsible for, what are they responsible for, and you understand kind of your responsibilities when it comes to security for BTP, and you build in a plan to ensure that BTP is just as secure as it would be if this was something on-premise with the same kind of data and the same kind of access that it has. JP, anything you'd add in terms of kind of risks related to kind of moving to a model like BTP?
And I think you covered the categories quite well, and we can get into the examples. I was hovering over the questions. Great questions, by the way. I can't wait to get into the questions by the end. But there are many different types of issues, and we have the categories here, and we'll get into more of the details, specific details. But yeah, it's important to understand that. No, software vulnerabilities are less of a problem in the cloud as it is BTP. And by software vulnerabilities, I mean a vulnerability on a specific BTP service. That will be promptly addressed by SAP, and there are SLAs and there are contractual obligations that we have in place when we become SAP customers that forces them to do that. However, BTP is a platform as a service. So it's extremely complex from a deployment and configuration perspective, provisioning, user access perspective, integration perspective, but also we use it to build applications. So software vulnerabilities could be affecting our own applications as well. So there are many different aspects of us as customers using BTP that could introduce security risks.
Perfect. Thanks, JP. So I want to spend kind of the next bit of time talking about the services that BTP has that can help you build securely on top of it. So it is a platform as a service, as JP referenced. So you build on top of that. And SAP provides a lot of great services to help you ensure you're doing so in a secure way. So I'll spend a little bit of time here kind of talking about each of these services. What I want to do is start off with the authorization and trust management service. So this does exactly what it sounds like it does, and you can kind of read there on the screen. So it does user authentication, which, you know, this day and age, that's kind of a no-brainer, like make sure the people logging in are who they say they are. How do you prove that? But it's also about application authentication as well. So make sure the applications that are talking to or within BTP, that they are the applications that should be talking here, kind of what you know, make sure they authenticate and kind of prove that they're a trusted application. And then for both the users and the applications, kind of, well, we've proven they are who they say they are. what should they be able to do? So kind of what authorizations should they have? Let's make sure if they only need to read a certain amount of data, then that's all that they can do. They can't modify that data, or they can't read other data that's adjacent, let's say, but perhaps more kind of more sensitive and something you really want to ensure that is protected and treated in a protected way. It also will integrate with like Auth 2.0 and other kind of authentication mechanisms. So it enables you to really kind of take advantage of investments you've already made in authorization and IAM type technologies and leverage that for your users coming to BTP versus having to give them a whole nother set of credentials there in BTP. So it's about kind of making sure that access is tightly controlled. People have just what they have to get the functions done, but not no broader than that. So this makes it easier to enable that type of capability just straight in BTP itself. If we look at kind of the audit log, you know, this is a real key capability. So the ability for, you know, have something there that's recording security events. So if events of that nature happen, having somewhere that's recorded that you, the SOC, the audit team can get to later, making sure that user activities are being monitored. You need that audit trail of all the actions that have taken place so you can prove a negative or a positive in terms of kind of what happened, especially when we talk about some kind of compliance reporting, you know, to be able to know that no one did, you know, no one performed this kind of action, kind of lets you meet compliance requirements. And it just helps you with, you know, any kind of ongoing audit requirement you might have as an enterprise. If you need to have a regular audit done, this security audit log service, you know, really enables that. It has those logs there. They're able to come and be retrieved through various applications, and then those audits can be performed. And you can ensure that you have the same level of audit and accountability in BTP that you do have on your on-premise systems. If we look at the credential store, you know, this is really critical now. Now that you have kind of services and applications that are talking to each other, we need to ensure that they have the access to get the appropriate credentials, but that those credentials are, you know, you know, treated as in the secure way they should be. So it provides encrypted storage, you know, so you can have the keys and passwords, you know, being stored in an encrypted way, allows you to do credential management and ensure that any application running on BTP can kind of securely store and retrieve credentials from the store, so you can have kind of trust and faith in how these credentials are being managed, but also to do cryptographic operations, so signing digital certificates, etc., having a one place that's built into the platform to enable you to kind of ensure that these functions are carried out in a secure way is really important. And also kind of if you have requirements around data protection and privacy through how credentials are managed, then this is a way to ensure that you're setting that up in a way that hits your meets your requirements, I should say, so you're not in violation of any kind of local law in terms of how things should be managed. And then for all of these actions, it's auditing those as well. So you can keep track of who's accessing keys, who's accessing credentials. And when I say who, this could be a service, it could be an application, etc. But you have that audit trail to understand what was accessed and when. So again, you have all that monitoring and you have that control over the type of data and actions that are available through here. The next one kind of sounds a little simple, the custom domain service, but you know, this is really quite a critical piece. So, you know, this is something that's hosted and provided. But really, when it comes to your users or your customers, you want them going to a place that they would expect to go in order to interact with you as an enterprise. So you can kind of set up exactly as it kind of says on the screen there, having a custom domain. That allows you then to manage your own certificates. You can produce certificates for that domain. So now you have control over those certificates. You can ensure that they're trusted and they're kind of trusted within your enterprise. And it improves kind of the user experience now. They're going to a domain they expect when they interact with your enterprise, they're seeing a certificate that's valid. And I would say kind of to the third bullet there, that helps maybe not reduce phishing attempts, but it helps reduce the likelihood of phishing working. If you've kind of over time kind of taught your user base that actually interacting with my company's apps, sometimes they have a domain that has nothing really to do with my company, they lose that kind of that cross-check, that ability to say, hey, I'm being you know, asked to click on this link and it's going to a domain that has really nothing to do with my company, but asking, you know, they're telling me I need to go there to put in a password or make a change. it can help kind of the customers, or more important, the employees, kind of give them that second of pause, which is sometimes all you need before someone's going to click on that phishing link and expose kind of your enterprise to attack. So it's a simple capability, but I think it actually provides a really strong level of security. I'll take a breath there, but we have the SAP Connectivity and Destination Service. So kind of this helps you do a few things. Kind of it provides a central configuration of destinations, which are kind of what endpoints and what applications that can be connected to. So instead of every single piece that needs to use a destination having its own copy, and now you have multiple copies, those copies could not be configured well and kind of contain old information. So you run into a risk there of some kind of service outage because you haven't updated the copy, let's say, of that destination everywhere. But it also kind of provides a secure storage of credentials. So these destinations then can use those secure credentials versus having to be hard-coded again in each of those copies. And they work with the various authentication strategies or capabilities that are available within BTP. So making sure that it'll work on the level of security that you want versus you having to kind of downgrade your security expectations because it's not supported by kind of the technology you want to use. And it integrates with development tools. So you know, BTP is really a platform for you and your enterprise to build on top of. So the fact that these security tools or this specific security tool is kind of really in there in that development platform means it's something that's not an effort for your developers to take advantage of. You know, we want to shift left always when we're doing security. We want to make it as easy as possible for the people doing that creating to include security by design and as part of that development. This is later on have to try and force it in after some kind of security review after the fact is performed. And if we have a look, there's a malware scanning service. So, you know, if documents, et cetera, are being passed into or around within BTP, you really want to make sure you're not exposing yourself to attack. You know, in some kind of enterprises and some applications, we need to receive artifacts from other sources. So we need to be able to allow for that transforming. But we need to make sure we have a way to scan that as soon as it comes in, identify kind of threats, viruses, Trojans, et cetera, and then perform an action automatically when that happens. So this is built in, which means as you build on top of BTP, you can just include this in your applications, in your development as needed, so your custom apps can take advantage of this capability there inside of BTP. It also helps with compliance. You're using this built-in service. You can then kind of show that as part of every action where you're receiving these kind of artifacts, you have this malware taking place. You're taking proactive protection as soon as it takes place. I kind of raced through that. I took a little bit of a pause for breath. JP, I know I touched on most things, but anything that you'd like to add kind of based on the different security services that I highlighted there available in BTP?
No. The services section was great. I think it's important to understand that SAP BTP is built on top of many capabilities. And for us that are really now interested on securing these security services play an important role. And I see a lot of questions around the services that I'm addressing as we speak.
Perfect. Thank you. Yeah, I think SAP is to be commended for how much security is kind of built in and kind of how much they've anticipated what people are going to need to ensure they can run BTP in a secure way. So when we talk about best practices for securing SAP, there's kind of three kind of key areas of focus, as you can see. BTP security recommendations, I mean, I keep harping on about that, but I just think it really is a really important thing. It's a great bit of work that SAP has done to ensure, A, they're just clearly communicating this is, you know, security is something that's a shared responsibility between SAP and their customers. So making sure that their customers are aware of kind of not only that they have a responsibility, but what types of actions should they take place kind of in order to ensure they're meeting their part of that model. Identity and access management for users, for applications, for systems that are interacting with and through BTP, kind of challenging understanding who they are, what do they need to be able to do, ensuring they just have that access as things are decommissioned, ensuring that access goes away. That needs to be done kind of through a more kind of enterprise automated process. So having IAM is really important. And then, as I've said, BTP is something for you to build on top of. So making sure you're doing that in a secure way is critical. You could do a lot with the recommendations and others to ensure that the foundations of BTP are all secure. If what you build on top is adding risk, then you're kind of not doing yourself any favors. So ensuring that you're coming in and building secure applications, doing secure development on top of BTP is critical.
And on that part, Alex, I think it's even though it's a simple slide, it really helps us understand what are the drivers or what are the strategies that we should pursue when we start addressing security on BTP, right? On one hand, it's all of those settings, integrations, the configurations around BTP, which are highlighted by SAP on the security recommendations, which is the link that Alex mentioned. It has hundreds of different settings and things that we need to ensure that are properly set. The other is, how do we enable access, right? Do we use SAP, default identity provider? Do we use our own IDP? Do we combine? Do we enable rules? Do we use identity and access service, which changed name and it's cloud identity services, I think, from SAP? How do we provision on different sub accounts? How do we grant permissions, access, platform users versus users of the cockpit? So there are many different concepts. Again, for me, the key is complexity, right? So when these type of technologies come into play, it's important to understand the building blocks, so we understand how do we do to secure this. And last but not least, are we scanning the code, the security of the code of the applications that we develop on top of BTP, whereas it's ABAP or JavaScript or any other language? It's important to integrate a secure development lifecycle for the applications, which are going to be business applications that we develop on top of this platform.
Perfect. Thanks, JP. So in terms of, you know, the recommendations, kind of, again, beating this drum really hard, like pay attention to SAP's recommendations, make sure you kind of review that, or the appropriate team within your enterprise is reviewing that, and you have a plan for how you're going to address, you know, as JP said, it's a very long document. How are you going to manage and address, ensuring which of those parameters are appropriate for you and what's the right value for you to apply those parameters, and then that ongoing practice of ensuring you're still meeting what you've defined as kind of minimum acceptable security for you and your enterprise. It's available. There's a link there. As Sean said, the slides will be shared. Kind of this is the look and feel when you go in, so you can come in and kind of see the types of pieces. There's a lot of content to go through. JP, I know we talked about doing a demo, but I'm not sure we have the time to go through that. How do you feel?
I think we can, if I may share the screen. Let me give 1 second. There we go. So can you see?
I see it.
Perfect. All right. So this is the SAP documentation, right? So we have different elements of security guide. This is one example of documentation from SAP. If we go and, for example, search it's very simple, BTP security recommendations. We can see the content, we can browse it, we can download it. If we go to the bottom of it, we can see that it's 235. So we're talking about hundreds of different recommendations with different criticality. We can filter. So I would say if security for BTP is something that you are pursuing, then this is the place to start with. This is your guidance in terms of deploying security on BTP, how it's set up, how it's configured, the starting point, right? And we can see different examples, logging on different categories, well, a lot around logging, identity and authentication, and I can select for looking at the 235, but just wanted to give you a look and feel. Everything comes with a recommended value, and the value that it has by default. Many of these are settings. So there's a default value, but there's also, we can change that, right? And that's the issue with configurations and settings, is that even though we can configure them into a secure state, if we don't properly manage who has access to admin to change settings, those settings could go back to insecure state and expose the entire instance. So secure recommendations from SAP, it's a live document. You can see it, you can navigate, you can download. This is the starting point.
Awesome. Thanks, JP. Let me just come through and we'll just finish off with some slides. What I really wanted to do is provide kind of recommendations to the audience. So, you know, and the key word there on the slide is that continual validation of security. So for those of you who work in security, you know, it's really a never ending task. If you're dealing with kind of on-premise technology, then every month there's new notes or patches, et cetera, depending on the technology that you need to address. So you have to constantly kind of maintain and keep up with security. So I wanted to kind of put kind of some key elements that I thought were important to do. First off the bat is that regular security audit. So, you know, you can spend that time and effort, as JP said, to go through, I think it was 225 pages of kind of different recommendations to get what's right for your enterprise. Every enterprise kind of has their kind of level of security posture that they're ready for. But these are configurations that can be changed by anyone. So you need to make sure that you're continually ensuring that you stay at that level. This recommendations change over time as well. As new technology is added into BTP, then there's security associated with those. So it's not a one and done type of exercise. You need to make sure that you're keeping up with what's going on from a security point of view. And then you can see it's kind of, what are my users doing? Kind of, are they doing what they should be doing? Maybe a month ago they should have been doing that. Is that something they should still be doing now? JP touched on using identity providers, kind of make sure that you're using the authentication technologies that's right for your business. Don't make your users learn another login, but try and leverage what they already have. And then kind of training for your security for teams. So people who are working in BTP, developing for BTP, and kind of ensure that they have what they need to do so in a secure way. And then really across the enterprise, you know, that can be kind of an additional firewall as your users having a security training, having an ability to react and report on things they see that don't meet kind of security thresholds, so identifying phishing for you, etc. And then lastly, exactly what you're doing right now. Like, security is a journey for all of us. We learn from each other. So taking advantage of the SAP security community, that there's a lot of kind of content like this and other content available where we're trying to ensure that we all have visibility and understand kind of what does security mean now? Things are changing and changing even faster, really, with the advent of BTP and other technologies. So how can I keep up and ensure that I'm informed about what are kind of the latest risks and the latest kind of guidance for security to SAP technology? I would be remiss if I didn't come in and talk a little bit about how we could help. I promise I'll just do 60 seconds, but you know, one of the reasons that JP and I kind of are able to talk about this is because we work with our customers to help them ensure all of their investments in SAP can be, you know, managed and run in a secure way. So you can kind of see across the top that we work with SAP, whether it's on-premise, it's hybrid, so a little bit of both, in the cloud. BTP is obviously we've been focused on here or going with RISE. And we do it through kind of three core pillars. So we have Assess, which is vulnerability management. So Vulnerabilities could be considered SAP notes, but it also could be what we've been talking about, insecure configurations, users with really high permissions or authorizations on a target system, helping you identify kind of where they are, what the consequence of allowing those to exist could be, and giving guidance on how to address those. With Defend, kind of talking about what's going on those systems. So from a threat point of view, is someone attempting to exploit vulnerabilities on that system? Is someone performing an action which is very kind of a highly sensitive action? And you know, is that something they should be performing? And when we look at kind of BTP, there's a lot of actions that can be performed there, cloning, et cetera, copying, which really could expose a lot of risk. And then if we have a look on the right-hand side, it's all about kind of DevSecOps for SAP. So as you're customizing and adding that extra value on top of these technologies that BTP provides, are you doing so in a way that doesn't expose you to more risk? We do this all through our premium certified kind of SAP endorsed apps. So SAP has singled us out as an application and provider that they endorse, that they encourage people to use, because it helps ensure all of us are running more secure SAP systems. So I'm going to stop talking because I've been talking a lot. I'm going to bring this slide up, but the slides will be shared. JP, any final words you'd like to give before we go to hand it back to Sean for the questions?
We are talking about business applications, and as such, there is a lot of value on the data and the processes. Threat actors know about it, and they've been addressing more and more and targeting more and more these applications, either by targeting the technology, by using malware, by stealing credentials. There are many different ways threat actors have to ultimately compromise these applications and the data. So it's important to have security not as an afterthought, but really as a driving force. It's especially important for those of you who are beginning their first steps of the implementation of BTP, because a lot of the definitions are going to drive security requirements. Otherwise, it becomes technical debt, and it becomes harder and more expensive to secure, to implement. We are here to help. We are addressing some of the questions, great questions, by the way. For those questions that we are not able to address, we'll follow up on each one of them. We are here to help.
Perfect. Thanks, JP. Sean, I'll hand it back to you now to take us through some questions while we have some time left.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have just a little bit of time left. First off, thank you, JP and Alex. That was a wonderful presentation. We have a lot of questions for the audience. So I do want to just jump in as quickly as possible. First thing I do want to say, because a couple of people asked that we this presentation and the recording will be available on sapinsider.org. Everyone who attended the live session today will get an email with the link to that webinar on demand. This will be available for everyone there. I do want to just quickly address that for everyone. But let's dive into a couple of these questions. First off, I have one here. How is BTP risk when it's SSO enabled via IDP or via IaaS? I mean, network level access along with application level. What is Onapsis' recommendation in monitoring the BTP as a whole and different to hosted apps?
I think I'll give JP a chance to think about the questions by answering a little bit first, which I think it gets the prize for kind of most acronyms used in a sentence. So I think you're asking if you have SSO enabled to BTP, I think even to the network level access, along with kind of the applications being forced to authenticate, what risk is present there? And then the second question within that was, hey, do we recommend monitoring BTP as a whole or monitoring the different apps that are running on it? So JP, I don't know if I gave you enough time there to think, or if that's a question we should take. Okay.
I can definitely take a pass. Yes, we expect most organizations, as they embrace BTP, to have the access integrated with SSO or SAML through IAS, most likely your own IDP. We continue to throw acronyms here to make it more complex. But the building blocks for that, we have BTP services, accounts and sub-accounts. We have cloud identity services from SAP. We have your own IDP. You may have groups, users, roles, ensuring access, managing access to that has to be properly maintained. So there you have risks of really being able to understand what do you assign to whom, only at the cockpit access level. Then at the application level access, well, that's really like, it depends on the applications you build and on the authorization concepts you build on top of it, right? So I see a parallel of this question to the question of, hey, my on-premise, my applications are on-premise, so the firewall will catch any problems. Well, there are many different areas of risk that come by having applications that are not isolated anymore, talking to other applications, pulling and pushing data from other sources. And again, the complexity of the things that we need to put together when we talk about BTP can expose many, there could be many areas of improvement or many, directly many risks. The applications that you build on top of it, that really depends on the type of application, the authorization concept, the logging concept you introduce there. However, SAP provides a lot of services to pull logs and understand who's accessing, who's authenticating. So there is a lot of visibility that SAP gives you at the platform level, but at the application level, really it's up to you and what you build, right? So that on that question, I wanted to also address another question that was asked, and I wanted to cover live. It's from Kathy. BTP is normally hosted and managed by SAP. I assume that SAP instead of customers would install these nodes, correct? And this is focused on the slide where we listed some of the SAP security nodes. Well, that's actually the whole point of that slide. No. Those nodes had to be installed by customers. So while that's why it's important to understand that security is a shared responsibility. Yes, SAP will address a lot of the security risks and a lot of the vulnerabilities. If there is an injection flow in one of the cloud services, yes, SAP will address that timely and as quick as possible for all across all the customers. However, there are some vulnerabilities that would depend on the data that the customer has or the libraries that the customer is consuming. So it's important to stay on top of the SAP security nodes that do affect BTP services, because those are still our responsibility as customers.
Absolutely. another one here. How often does SAP update the malware definitions for the scan?
That's a good question. So that'll be related to the malware scanner. I do not know the answer, but I can commit to finding it and following up to that one. Unless JP, you happen to know off the top of your head. I know it uses CLAM AV in the back end. I don't know how often that's updated.
Yeah, if they use CLAM AV, that's an open source antivirus, and that's basically updated by the community, right? So, but we can get back with the frequency on that.
Perfect, thank you. Is another one here? Is the audit log service integrated into the BTP app runtime? Or must save two log actions be added to the apps to take advantage of this service?
Good, another really good question. I would feel it's in the app runtime, but again, I'll commit to following up with a more technical and accurate answer.
Okay. I think we have time for maybe one more here. BTP is in the cloud. I thought security was taken care of by the vendor cloud.
And that's a common piece. I can, JP, I can give a minute and then I can give you some time as well. But yeah, that's very common to kind of think that. And it's not entirely untrue in the sense that your cloud vendor has a responsibility for security. So some elements that if this was on-prem, you would have been responsible for the underlying infrastructure, et cetera. They take that on, and that's part of the value they provide is owning that for you. But you still are responsible for what's running above that. On the previous slide, so when you get the slide deck, there was a link to the shared security model, which SAP has published, which is very clear on essentially what they will do, but also very clear on to their customers on what they are responsible for. So things like your configurations. Are you, you know, putting your configurations around a secure way? You know, you have all your users logging in. If you're giving them all full access, then they could start taking data and doing things like that. So all the stuff you need to do on-prem, a lot of that is still applicable for something that's hosted, especially something like BTP, which is more platform as a service versus software as a service, which, for example, SuccessFactors might be. But JP, do you want to give your kind of point of view on that?
I think you covered it.
Yeah.
And throughout the presentation, we provided many examples of why that's not true, right? It's even though there is this perception of cloud is going to give me all the security and I'm not going to be responsible for taking care of that. Well, that's not the case. It's always a shared responsibility. In any case, ultimately, it's your data, so it's your responsibility. You need to make sure that you understand the controls that the provider is putting together, that you did your due diligence, that you agreed and you accepted all of these controls. And because in the end, your data is your responsibility. That's very important. And there are many things as we navigate down from software as a service all the way to platform as a service, where we have more customizations, more configurations possible. Well, all of those things are definitely on the customer's responsibility side.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And thank you all. This really has been a truly wonderful discussion here. But unfortunately, that is all of the time that we have for questions today. For our audience, I know that there are a couple of questions that we didn't quite get to. I promise you that we will follow up with the Onapsis team and make sure that they have all of the questions that were submitted, and someone from that team will get back to you as quickly as possible. A special thank you to Alex and JP for joining us today. And on behalf of SAP Insider and Onapsis, thank you to our audience for your time, and we hope that you have a wonderful day. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.